song for the broken hearted. A silent prayer for faith departed. I ain't gonna be just a face in the crowd. You're gonna hear my voice when I shout it out loud. It's my
welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are so excited to have on the line with us today Troy Anderson. He is the Coborn's Pharmacy Manager at the Coborn's in Hastings, and he is going to chat it up with us today about this season that we're in this spring. How do we know if we have a cold? How do we know if we have allergies? Or even worse, how do we know that we have some of the symptoms of the coronavirus? Troy, so great that you could join us today by phone. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Troy, I know that things have changed in the world as far as doing business. Tell us a little bit how Coborn's, and specifically your pharmacy, has maybe changed.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that shops has noticed things have changed significantly. But especially here at the pharmacy, for us, you know, the first thing that went up was we had plexiglass barriers placed between ourselves and the customers. Everywhere in the store, but really secluding us in the pharmacy just to prevent the potential spread to my staff. As well as that, we've also have changed our model a little bit. We've always done delivery, and that's always been free, but now people are more concerned with contact, so we're picking up more with mailing prescriptions directly to people, so there's no contact at all between individuals. And some other people have preferred to jump on that curbside pickup bandwagon. So our grocery store already has been doing that service. We're able to kind of run it out to you as well, right to the curb, if you want to avoid going into the store and potentially getting infected. Along with that, our procedures changed a little. We're cleaning a lot more to make sure if something does get contaminated, it's cleaned right away. We also have to wear masks in the pharmacy, which is kind of a big challenge to get used to. Face gets a little hot and such, but, you know, it's a good thing overall to prevent the spread.
You know, let's talk about this season, because I know a lot of people, even in a good year, we don't know if we have a cold coming on or if it's allergies, but certainly some of the symptoms of both of those can be also the coronavirus. So can you kind of walk us through some of those and put our fears to rest?
Yeah, well, with allergies, to start it, because that's a little different. You should be kind of used to them by now if you have allergy symptoms. With spring coming on, you're probably getting that same feeling you do each spring if you have seasonal allergies, where you get that some sneezing, itchy, runny nose, some sinus congestion potentially a little bit. Some people have eye symptoms where their eyes get itchy and watery, or their throat might be a little itchy too. And, you know, those problems too can wear on you a little bit. They can lead to trouble sleeping, which can give you a kind of increased physical and mental fatigue. Long-standing allergy symptoms, if they're untreated, can even give you a little bit of anxiety or depression potentially too.
How can that be, Troy?
Well, if you're not getting enough sleep because you're congested, and all those things just add up over time, and just the wearing on you, you know, trouble breathing and such, and it fatigues your immune system a little bit, because your immune system's inappropriately acting on these allergens instead of attacking something that it should be attacking, like, say, a cold or the coronavirus, and that's why you're getting these allergy symptoms.
You know, can you get allergies develop at an older age?
It can change at any time, because let's just talk about the allergy process. So your body could potentially be allergic to something, say, penicillin, but you've never had penicillin before, and so you've never had an allergic response to it. And then at some point, you come in contact with it. The first time you get in contact with it, you don't have the allergy. you have to have that sensitization. So in other words, your body's going to see it, and then it's going to attack it inappropriately, start building antibodies to that, say, penicillin that we're talking about, or whatever allergen you're allergic to. Then the next time you're exposed to it, since your body's built all of these antibodies to that penicillin that we're using as an example, now the next time you're exposed to it, then your body's antibodies quickly attach onto it, then that leads to kind of that cascade where you could potentially have an anaphylactic reaction, or maybe you'll just have more mild symptoms like hives that develop. Yeah, because you may have the ability to get allergic to it, but you may not have been exposed to it previously.
So symptoms of allergies are what you just explained. How about if we have a cold coming on?
Yeah, so with colds, your symptoms would be, generally it's a very slow onset. That's what most people would be familiar with. Then you start to get a stuffy nose. Maybe you also have sneezing like you do with allergy symptoms. But like I said, it's slow onset where allergy, as soon as you're exposed to it, you'll start to get the symptoms right away. In addition, you could have like that sore, scratchy throat. You know, you get that feeling in the back of your throat that's developing, and you start to think, I think I'm going to get a cold. So that would be the most common symptoms there. Generally, you're going to never have a fever with a cold, almost never. So that would be the big difference between colds and, say, the coronavirus, or the COVID-19 specifically. COVID-19, that one you're going to get usually a fever, a cough, and shortness of breath, or maybe difficulty breathing. Those are going to be the biggest indicators. And then in addition to those, you could also have some chills or muscle pain, a little headache, or sore throat as well.
Have you ever heard of the coronavirus before this happened?
Yeah, for sure. In fact, let's just back up a step and kind of just talk about colds in general, because people are going to have similar some of these symptoms very commonly throughout the year. You know, everybody gets colds. In fact, the U.S. experiences about 1 billion colds a year. And as we get older, we have less colds. So when you look at children, they're sick all the time. They have like 6 to 10 colds a year. Adults and adolescents have about 2 to 4. And individuals 60 and older may have 0 to 1 a year. And that's because each time you get a cold, you have immunity to that virus and you won't get it again. But the problem why you're getting so many throughout your life is there's over 200 plus different kinds of cold viruses. So when you get a cold, about 30 to 50% of the time, you're talking about a rhinovirus. Then about 10 to 15% of the time, we're talking about a virus in the same family, coronavirus. So you've actually had different coronaviruses before throughout your lifetime, just not this COVID-19 that we're experiencing now.
And why is this one so serious?
So you probably have seen, like if you have a pet, say a cat or a dog, they get a cold. You don't catch your cold from your pet, and your pet doesn't catch your cold from you. So what happens extremely, or rather rarely, is, and what happened this time, is an animal with a coronavirus passed that from the animal to the human. And then beyond that, it can be difficult also after, say, a human catches a virus from an animal, for them to transmit it from human to human. So we had two rare things that occurred. One, a human that caught the virus from an animal, and then they also were able to pass it from themselves to another human, and then that led to the spread to what COVID-19 is today. And the problem where everybody's catching this now is it's because it came from an animal, our body doesn't recognize it at all. It basically can move right in past our immune system because nobody has any immunity built up to it. And so potentially anybody could catch it, unlike these coronaviruses that have been circulating through everybody through their whole lives. A lot of people have already had the cold coronaviruses, and they've got immunity to it. So if somebody has a cold, they don't pass it to everybody around them, only the people that haven't had it previously.
So Troy, so coronavirus is kind of an umbrella term, and then the COVID-19, which is what the pandemic is about right now, that falls underneath it?
Yeah, coronavirus would be more like a group of viruses. There's several different subtypes. One subtype is a beta coronavirus, and the COVID-19 is a beta coronavirus underneath that kind of tree.
So tell us how we can go about really avoiding any sort of an infection or a virus.
Yeah, so first off, you know, it's good to understand how these things transmit. You know, anytime we're talking about a cold or a flu virus or the coronavirus COVID-19, it's spreading from person to person through some sort of a respiratory droplet or other bodily secretion. So what you have to do is get that from some surface or through droplets in the air into your, either on your eyes, in your nose, or in your mouth, lungs, etc. And that's going to happen from either breathing it in, touching a surface that's infected, and then touching your mouth, eyes, or nose. And that's why there's the big push, you know, wash your hands, don't touch your face, sort of thing. And so to prevent the illness, we do those infection control measures, which is that washing the hands, contact avoidance. So if somebody is ill or suspected of having it, or a surface is contaminated, you would either avoid it, avoid the person, or clean it and take special precautions there. You want to use that respiratory etiquette, which is definitely changing now. You know, we're doing the social distancing, staying 6 feet away from each other to prevent breathing in droplets of expired air that could have the virus in it. You know, cover your coughs. If you cough into a tissue or sneeze into a tissue or whatnot, throw it away right away afterwards. Don't save it for future use. You know, washing your hands after any of that stuff is exposed. Now, a lot of people are wearing masks. Like I said, you know, we are here at the pharmacy to prevent the spread of that. Some people I even see walking around with gloves on.
What do you think about both of those? Because I was not understanding wearing a mask correctly. I thought wearing a mask helped me ward against getting any of those droplets on me. But my understanding now is that we wear a mask so that we don't get other people sick.
Yeah, that's for the most part. Yep, that's the main reason if we're wearing the kind of cloth masks or even the medical masks. It's really keeping your respiratory system to you so you're not spreading anything in the area. The masks themselves wouldn't filter out virus particles from the air. Most of them aren't fit well enough where you would even be able to have a good seal to filter all the air that you're breathing in. Usually it's leaking in around the edges anyway, so if there was something, you would get it. That's where that social distancing, staying 6 feet apart, is important, because you're most likely not going to get any respiratory droplets from somebody else if you're at least that far away. There are the different kinds of masks. You know, you see the people wearing the cloth face mask or the medical-style masks, and the difference would be the cloth masks aren't really filtering a whole lot at all. Some of the medical masks can protect you to some degree from, say, a splash, but it's not foolproof. It's stuff can still get through, like I had said. And then, you know, you see some people with the N95 style, which is just a rating where it filters a higher level of the air or smaller particles to a certain extent. The important thing, of course, like the others, is that it fits properly, is covering, you know, your whole mouth and nose. But the N95 style, of course, you have to have a really good seal, because if there's any leaks at all, then the filtering capability is kind of pointless because the regular air is escaping around the edges anyways.
I've heard that some people take a mask that is homemade and they put a coffee filter in. What do you think about that?
That was recommended by the CDC for some of the masks. And that would just help kind of hold more of that on your face. I don't know how well the coffee filter would help in, say, filtering air coming in for yourself, but it will definitely help hold things within your mask that you're breathing out.
What do you think about gloves, Troy?
Oh, yeah, I love the gloves, but they're a great thing. They keep you, say, you know, if you were cleaning your house and there was something you didn't want in contact with your hands, you would use your bleach solution or whatever with your gloves on to protect your skin. You would wash whatever area you needed, and then you would remove the gloves. When we're talking about dealing with potentially infectious material like the human blood or the COVID-19, then you put the gloves on. You're touching what you're imagining are these infected surfaces, and then once you're done touching whatever is infected, you want to kind of take the gloves off in a certain way where you don't touch anything else. But the key is you're only touching this infected area that you're either cleaning or exposed to, and then when you're done, you're putting your gloves in a kind of hazardous waste bin, essentially, if you were potentially exposed or cleaning something up. But I see people going to the store, and they have the gloves on, and they're touching their carts. They're touching all the items in the store that they're probably trying to protect themselves from. And then they come up to the cash register, and they have the gloves on still, and they pull up their purse, and they pull out their wallet, and they touch their credit cards and all that stuff with their gloves on. And so they're basically spreading everything they touch in the store all over their personal items with them, which I'm imagining they're going to bring home and probably not disinfect. So it's kind of defeats the purpose of wearing gloves in the first place.
Yeah, it sort of does, now that you explain it like that. Would you recommend we don't wear gloves then?
Well, like I said, it's important to wear the gloves if you're going to know you're in contact for sure. So say you were taking care of somebody in your house. The doctor said they had COVID-19, but they didn't have respiratory symptoms that were severe enough where they need to come into the hospital. Well, then you may want to put some gloves on and wear your face mask, and you would use your cleaner and clean up everything. And then once you're done, you'd pull everything off without touching your face or anything. But specifically the gloves, you'd kind of pinch one glove, say, in your palm, peel it off of your left hand. Then you would, for your glove on your opposite hand, you kind of reach your finger underneath the lip without touching the exterior surface of the glove, mm-hmm. and you kind of fold it in backwards on itself, and then you throw it in the garbage. So when you take them off, you're not touching any of the exterior surfaces of this glove that could be contaminated, and you're not touching anything else in your house after you're done cleaning or cleaning up this potential COVID contamination.
Well, you know, this is all new for us, so we're just trying to do the best that we can do, but I appreciate you giving us that information. If we have something that we are suffering from, perhaps it's a cold, perhaps it's allergies, do you have some recommendations for over-the-counter things?
Yeah, so touching on allergies quick, since we started with those, you know, the best thing, the easiest thing to use is one of the once-daily non-drowsy antihistamines. That's going to be your Zyrtec, your Claritin, Allegra. I buy the generic form, but it's always easy to remember the brand names. That, just doing one of those once a day will clear things up. Once you have a full-blown allergy symptoms, you do need to stick with it for up to 30 days to get the full benefit. So don't give up on it right away. There are some other options. If your sinuses are really bothering you and they're really congested from the allergies, you can use products like Flonase or some of the other steroid nasal sprays. Then they have some prescription products that are antihistamines for your nose as well, like Astelin or Astepro. And then if you have eye symptoms, some things you can grab over the counter easily are Aloe or Zatador. Those are eye drops that will help more with itchiness if the tablet itself isn't helping enough. Bumping over to kind of just a general cold or potential COVID symptoms. You know, if you have a fever, you could do Tylenol. If you have a runny nose, Benadryl can help with that, but it will make you tired. For sinus congestion, or if you feel like you have a lot of pressure on the eyes, Sudafed works really well to relieve that pressure. For a cough, the only thing you can really get over the counter is dextromethorphan as a cough suppressant, or if you have congestion in your lungs from a cold, Mucinex can help break that up to some degree, along with some extra fluid. But if you just have one of those kind of tickles in the back of your throat, where you have that dry cough with the tickle, you can really use cough drops or any hard candy to help get some lubrication back there, and that'll make it more comfortable for you.
All good advice. Thank you so much. I hope you stay safe, Troy.
Yeah, you as well.
Well, thank you. Our guest today, Troy Anderson, he is with Coborn's Pharmacy. Can you give us your phone number, please?
Yeah, it's 651-437-6716.
And I know you're interested in helping people in any way, so you would answer questions they might have.
Yeah, feel free to call anytime.
Wonderful. Troy Anderson, thanks for calling in today. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
A silent prayer for 50 parties.